Our passage today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable due to the crowd because he was short in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him, because he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When the people saw this, they all began to complain, saying, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions I am giving to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I am giving back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. I'm going to start today with a little bit of biblical history or history information. Mentioned Jericho. Jericho is thought to be the oldest city in the world, you know, and it's still in existence today. The oldest city in the world, still in existence, you know, and today it has a population of about 20,000 people. Now, Jericho is about 16 miles from Jerusalem, but Jericho is surrounded by desert and wilderness. Now, the reason it existed way back then and still exists today is built on an oasis. And doing a little bit of research, there is a sycamore tree in downtown Jericho, kind of like downtown Rabel. Downtown Jericho that some people would want you to believe is the very tree that Zacchaeus climbed to see Jesus. Now, if you want to believe that, that's fine. That's up to you. Now, most people heard the story, you know, or know about Zacchaeus from the song, you know, and I'm sure somewhere with the world being the way it is today, some people would say, "Hey, you know, it's not good to say we little man, you know, that's not, you know," and somebody said this morning, "Yeah, you can't say that. You have to say he's challenged in height." Okay, I don't know about a song saying, "Hey, you know, Zacchaeus, challenged in height." Doesn't really go. But, you know, most of us know about Zacchaeus from where? How many people know the song, Zacchaeus? Okay, here we go. "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior came that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, 'Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today.'" Everybody like that? Everybody remember that song? You know, where we get, you know, Vacation Bible School. You know, Zacchaeus, you know, a tax collector challenged in height. Now, from Scripture, we know Zacchaeus was a tax collector. You know, and Luke tells us he was a chief tax collector or lead tax collector. So he probably had other tax collectors working under him. And Luke also tells us he was rich, a rich tax collector. Now, the way tax collecting went in that day, Rome would get a group of people, they would go to a city, a town, a region, say Jericho, and they would take a census, you know, mostly, you know, of men of working age, you know, and they would see how much land they own, you know, how many animals they own, how many, you know, fruit-bearing trees they owned. They would gather all this up, take all that information back to Rome, and they would give it to the bean counters, you know, and the bean counters would determine how much taxes could be, you know, they would estimate how much taxes they could collect, you know, say from Jericho, you know, and then they would put a bid out. You know, they would say, "Okay, all the tax collectors, you know, you bid, you know, how much you think you want to pay, you know, to collect the taxes." Now, when you bid, you had to pay that bid to Rome up front. So Rome has their money. It's up to you, the tax collector, to collect the taxes. You know, now, if you're a good tax collector, you up your bid, you know, you paid your bid. You know, if you only collect what you bid, hey, you break even. You know, what's good in that? You know, if you're good, you know, you up it, you know, maybe 1 or 2%, you know, and that's your profit. But what does Luke tell us, you know, about Zacchaeus? He was rich. So, you know, Zacchaeus probably upped his taxes the sky's the limit. You know, so what does that tell us about Zacchaeus? That he was probably greedy. You know, he was rich. You know, and tax collectors, you know, if you don't want to pay, they squeeze you. You know, kind of like bankers do. You know, they squeeze the money out of you. You know, they want their money. You know, so here's Zacchaeus. You know, he's rich. You know, and there's a, in history, I think it was Josephus wrote about, you know, a tax collector in a town. You know, and supposedly this actually happened. There was a family that did not want to pay their taxes, so they left. The tax collector in that town, they gathered up the family that was left of that family. They brought them to the town square, and they hung bags of sand around their necks and made them stand there all day, all night, you know, till they collapsed to try and get that one family back to squeeze, you know, the money out of them. You know, so here's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. You know, he's a rich tax collector, you know, but he was Jewish also. You know, and tax collectors were grouped with who? Prostitutes, drunkards, and sinners. You know, tax collectors were, you know, considered traitors, you know, to the local people. They were Jewish, sold their souls to Rome. For what? For money. You know, so here's Zacchaeus, you know, he's rich, tax collector, you know, so he's one of these, you know, he's considered, you know, a traitor, a swindler, you know, a thug. And here comes Jesus. Jesus is coming through town. Now you have to think about this, okay? A week after Jesus comes through Jericho, he's going to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's about 16 miles from Jericho. A week after this, what happens? Jesus is nailed to a cross. So Jesus is coming through Jericho knowing what's going down the road a week from now. Now the Gospel of Mark tells us Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake and a large crowd followed him. When they heard all about he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, the regions across the Jordan around the Tyre and Sidon. And everyone said this man preached with authority. You know, saying all these people, the crowds followed him, Jesus. You know, and all they wanted to get close enough to touch him. You know, and scripture tells us, Jesus told his disciples, you know, he was by the lake. Get a boat, you know, for me, because the people are so crowding me. You know, so pressing in, you know, they're going to push me out, get a boat for me to get in. So many people just want to get close to Jesus, to hear him preach, to touch him. You know, because, you know, just to touch him, to be healed. You know, we talked about in Bible study this past week, you know, Jesus called his disciples. You know, he's walking by the lake and all he says is, follow me. You know, and scripture says they left everything and followed him. And people want to, you know, said, you know, there has to be something else to it. You know, they had to have known, you know, Jesus before. Something had to happen for them just to drop everything and follow Jesus. You know, people trying to explain, you know, just can't accept what the Bible says. You know, but so think about this. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, there. We have no idea. We can't even comprehend, you know, what it is to be in the very presence of God. Jesus walking along, saying, follow me. And yeah, I can understand the God calling you, follow me, and dropping everything to follow him. So I can understand all of these people everywhere following Jesus. The blind see, the lame walk, you know, the mute talk, they can hear. All the, you know, demons being driven out, people healed. And the crowds want to come and see this. And what, besides all of that, you might get a free meal out of it. You know, because in all of that, Jesus feeds people. So, hey, we can go see Jesus, see all these things going on, and we can get a free meal out of it too. You know, so, hey, let's go. You know, so all these people are going to see Jesus. But there may be one side of Jesus that maybe you hadn't thought about. Jesus was the one of, if not the most controversial preachers or rabbis in his day. He was always saying something to make somebody mad. You know, I guarantee you, if he was here preaching today, he's going to say something that's going to make somebody mad. You know, so people wanted to go and say, hey, besides everything else, let's see who Jesus is going to take off today. Let's see who's going to make mad today. You know, and see him grumble and get up and walk out. You know, and this was Jesus. People flocking to see Jesus. And here's Zacchaeus. No one in Jericho liked him because he is a tax collector. He's a traitor, a tax collector. You know, making people pay taxes to the invading, occupying. You don't want them, you know, here's Rome has invaded, you know, Israel, and then you got to turn around and pay them to be there? You know, what's the sense in that? And here's Zacchaeus, one of them, you know, making them pay, you know. But here's Zacchaeus wanting to see Jesus. You know, just think about this. You know, and Scripture says, you know, he couldn't get to see Jesus. And here's the good church people, the good people, you know, the good people. You know, they're locking arms, you know, saying, hey, you know, you little challenged hype man, you know, get in the back. You don't deserve Jesus. You know, we're the good ones. You know, we're the ones that go to synagogue every week. We're the ones that pay taxes. You know, we're the ones that tithe. You know, we're the ones that go to Bible study. We deserve to see Jesus, not you. Get in the back. What if they had thought the other way around? Hey, if anybody needs Jesus, who is it? Zacchaeus. Maybe if we let him up here, get him to the front line, and he sees Jesus, you know, maybe something will happen to him. Maybe he'll stop squeezing us so much. You know, maybe he'll change. You know, maybe he'll even be a nice little man, a wee nice little man. But they don't. You know, one thing, you know, that I've seen, and it's not from any of y'all, it was not even, and this happened, you know, not long ago, was not even Methodist. You know, I won't say who they were, but they were Baptist. You know, that sometimes good church people, we keep people from God by the way we talk about our faith. You know, with some people not long ago, and the way they were talking about what they believe, the way they believed about God, there was a lot of judgmentalism in what they were saying. You know, I said, hey, you know, if we're talking just between ourselves and a small group, you know, that's one thing. But when you're out in public and you have no idea who's around you, no idea what somebody around you is going through, the way you talk about your faith, your belief in God, what you believe, you know, just may be keeping people away from God. You know that sometimes good church people, sometimes we're our own worst enemies. You know, sometimes the way we talk about our faith, the things we do, things we don't do, we keep people away from Jesus. Sometimes we are that obstacle that keeps people separated from God. Now, what did Jesus tell his disciples? Follow me. And I will what? Make you fishermen of people. The thing about fishermen in that day, I mean, it wasn't just taking a pole. Hey, the old saying, a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. It wasn't for them. You know, fishing was their work, and it was work. So if Jesus is calling you to say, hey, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people, it may not be easy, people. Fishermen in that day was not something that was easy. So if Jesus is saying, I'm going to call you to fish for people, it may not be the easiest thing that you've ever done. But still, Jesus is calling you to do it. So Zacchaeus was a rich tax collector. Tax collectors had power. He had everything that made the rich and famous. And he wants to see Jesus. Think about this. Zacchaeus had everything, but he knew something was missing in his life. And what does Scripture tell us? Like I said, who were those drawn to Jesus? The sinners, the tax collectors. Zacchaeus had everything, but he still knew something was missing, and that something could only come from one person. Jesus. So Zacchaeus, here he is, the rich and powerful, but he goes and climbs a tree. And somebody this morning, after church, after the early service, they said they looked up, the sycamore tree and said the sycamore tree is one of the dirtiest trees there is because the bark is always falling off of it. The leaves have all kind of said, it wasn't easy. You climb a sycamore tree, you're going to get dirty. Here's Zacchaeus, that way, wee little challenge type man, probably in his good tax collecting clothes, climbing a dirty tree to see Jesus. Nothing was going to stop him from seeing the Savior of the world. He's in that tree. Jesus is walking by. And there's God walking by. He walks over to the tree and he sees Zacchaeus. And what's the first words out of Jesus' mouth? Zacchaeus! Zacchaeus! What do you think Zacchaeus felt? He knows my name. He knows who I am. And Jesus tells him, come on down. Come on down. I want to go to your house today. And Scripture says, what did the people around him say? Why is he talking to him, a sinner? They were keeping Zacchaeus away from the very man, God, that would change him. From the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door and I will come in and eat with you and you with me. Then in that day, to break bread with somebody, to eat with them, you were companions, you were friends forever. Imagine this. Zacchaeus is at home, got everything fixed. There's a knock on the door. He opens the door, and there's God standing at his door. Fully human, but God, Jesus Christ. How do you think Zacchaeus felt? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, fully human, fully God, standing at his door. He comes in and he eats with him. And what does Scripture tell us about Zacchaeus happen after that? He's changed, change of heart, change of mind. Whatever I've done, if I've faulted anybody, I'll give it back four times. He's a changed man. He climbed a tree. Nothing stood in his way between him and God. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been separated from God? Zacchaeus was. And nothing stood in his way to get to God. Is anything standing in your way today? Separating you from God. What obstacle? God may be just looking at you today. Saying, I'm waiting for you to climb that tree So you can see me, whatever that tree is. Zacchaeus was a good Jewish boy, probably raised in a good Jewish home. And he knew it had been ingrained in his mind, the Lord your God, alone he is God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. But somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus had become his own God, or money had become his God. He could care less about his neighbor. But after meeting Jesus Christ, all of that changed. Has Jesus changed you? Has God changed you? Is there anything standing in your way between you and God today? Because Jesus is calling. He's calling and he's knocking at the door. And that old picture of Jesus knocking at the door, if you look at it, the side of the door that Jesus is on, there's no doorknob, there's no handle. It's only on your side. It's only you can open the door and let Jesus in. Will you let him in today? Because there's something we need to do every day. To let him in and say, here I am, God. Use me. Let us pray. Father, Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for this day and every day. Lord God, we welcome you into our lives this day, Lord God, to change our heart, our mind. Lord God, that we can live our lives with compassion, kindness, generosity. Father, Lord Jesus, Lord God, and tell people around us about you. Lord God, mostly by how we live, and Lord God, if we have to, we'll use words. Help us, Father, Lord Jesus, be a reflection of your life this day and every day. In your Son's holy and life-giving name, amen.